Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Living and Losing People Eaters Edition. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us very shortly. And hey, what else are we going to discuss when this type of pandemic is going on in the world? We are back to take your mind off things, ease your mind a little bit, distract you, basically. We want to out of work right now. So if you're complaining about it, a lot of people have a lot tougher position at this moment. But like I said, we're here to distract you, take your mind off things. And hey, I mean, to be honest with you, from a sports perspective, not from a world pandemic, country, state, you know, family, you know, perspective, but just from a sports perspective, the fact that the Vikings, just the NFL free agency in general, this has been huge just for, like I said, a distraction, you know. It hasn't necessarily been huge just yet for our Minnesota Vikings, maybe hugely, not negative, but the lot we've suffered more losses, major losses, than positives thus far as what we're bringing in. But we will kind of discuss. We were kind of hoping that we'd have a big trade to discuss, possibly a Trent Williams or whoever, somebody, just anybody. No, but we did kind of think that we were going to have a trade to discuss. It does seem like it's just a matter of days or hours or minutes. You know, it just seems like something like this is going to be around the corner. And, you know, we hear a lot of chatter, but it's quiet chatter a little bit. You know what I mean? So there hasn't been any kind of, well, I'm hearing this, they're closing in on this, or they have that. You know, so it's a lot harder to do, you know, not seeing somebody at Manny's, you know, eating a steak. Or it's tougher for the media to track this stuff. So it's a lot easier to keep this stuff tight. I mean, shit, until Diggs said that stuff on Twitter, he was like, what's going on? Oh, my God, we're doing that? It's done, actually, you know, so. But we do have plenty to discuss, though, no doubt about it. We'll probably start with just kind of going down the line on what we did bring in. I mean, it was a productive week for what you need on your roster. You do need reserves. We did need a wide receiver. You know, we did fill our roster full of pretty solid to borderline, maybe a special teams type player like that linebacker out of the XFL. So we did bring in guys like Dakota Dozier and brought Rashad Hill back and a couple other guys that we'll kind of go over. And those are important on football teams. We do, just because it's not a splash, you know, we do realize that. And so we'll go over a little bit about it. Obviously, the wide receiver Sharp, where's he going to fit in? You know, can he catch an extra 10 or 15 balls this year that he didn't last year? You know, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And I think some of the best stuff was the fact that we just, you know, were able to sign these guys back for less money than we paid them the previous year. So that's a positive. And then, you know, there is an article that we'll discuss that goes over four different trade scenarios. Most of it involving, you know, Trent Williams, but just in general. So we're going to kind of debate that. There's four scenarios. We're going to try to say, kind of narrow it down to one or two of them. What, you know, I would do that, I would do that. Those are the top two type thing. And, I mean, cornerbacks. Obviously, everybody is freaking out over these cornerbacks. We assumed that we weren't going to, you know, be able to have the money to get a free agent, like a big, big one. Not that there was a ton of them available this year, but, you know, really, probably the only way we would have been able to do that is in a trade. I'm talking like the top tier guy, because those guys really don't leave teams too often. So, but the thing is, we don't want to knee jerk and panic just yet, because, and that's why even last one, when we talked about, is it a rebuild or not? Well, until, you know, most of these cornerbacks get off the market, I'm still not calling it a rebuild just yet. So we'll discuss that. There is some other offensive linemen that are out there as well. Cowboys got one on the block down, too, that we'll talk minorly about. The Niners, actually, I just saw this before the show started a little bit. A guy who started a bunch of games for him the last few years actually got cut. He's on the market. So we're just going to discuss, you know, a variety of that type of stuff and just bring, you know, our thoughts on these items, you know. But, yeah, the cornerback – well, two cornerbacks are free agents now. One got cut and one is back on the market, Denard, because him and the team he was going to sign with couldn't come to terms. But the cool thing is his terms were basically leaked. So at least it's you don't have to go through the whole process again. You can see what he's looking for, and you can either move on or maybe, you know, start to negotiate that way. So we do have a ton to still discuss just because we don't have some kind of big, you know, gravy on top of it type trade to talk about. But you know what? Let's say it happens in 2 days. We'll come back with a 20-minute, 15-minute pod. You know what I mean? Real quick, just a quick one. Just to be like, hey, this is our thoughts on this trade. Peace out. You know what I mean? Just because, you know, we got to do that. You know, we got to do that. If it's a major trade, if we just swap fifth rounders or something, we're not going to come on here. Sorry, guys. But anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters Edition, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives, but you don't have to just go to Blog Talk under the Ropeadope Radio podcast. You can find the Ropeadope Radio podcast to listen to this podcast here on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. You can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find the platform while you're at it. They got a sponsor now.eu with the promo code TGT. That's the gruelingtruth.com. It's football. It's basketball. It's baseball. It's boxing. It's everything in between. And if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have and you're not quite happy, this actually a lot of sports, right? With so many people home and so many people not able to go out in the spring weather that's looking nicer every day, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. You do have a 7-day free trial. Even when you sign up, there's no annual contract. The plans start as low as $60 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. Now, however, if you are in an area like a rural area or just an area in the part of the country that just doesn't have great internet, you know, it's one thing to go on Netflix or Amazon and stream an archive show. It's another thing to do a live broadcast of something. So, you can try AT&T TV Now. That's a limited platform that is growing. It's just your normal cable platform. It's here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's also New York, Florida, Texas, parts of Texas, California, all the way up to Seattle, and in other places like in the Midwest. Just basically Google it and put your area code in there and see if AT&T TV is available. Otherwise, AT&T TV Now, live streaming cable. Okay, okay, okay. Let's get into this a little bit here. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Aaron and just see how he's doing. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Yeah, you're talking about knee jerks. My knee's jerking with this cornerback situation. I'm not exactly sure what's going on and what happened, so I know we're going to get into that, talk about that a little bit later, and just get caught up on a lot of other things going down. Rashad Hill coming back. Need that kind of depth. He's kind of swing tackle that's kind of been that guy for us. I was hoping maybe draft time comes along, we could look at maybe upgrading that. But I think a lot of what we saw signing was the guys that are going to compete in camp. So, you know, looking for spots. And with all those picks in the draft, it feels like they just kind of made some insurance buys here in case the draft doesn't exactly go their way. That's the way I'm looking at it anyway.
Yeah, and even if it doesn't go their way, like we said, you need these guys. You need reserves. Dozier could start potentially, but you need reserves just in general. And you know them, right? It's the same system. You know them, or at least, you know, we're going to have some tweaks, of course, but you've been in the building. You know what I mean? And so a lot of them were just, you know, low-profile stuff that people are kind of still freaking out because they're like, where's this, where's that? And I understand that, but you do have to get some of this stuff done too. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, at least we were able to bring these guys back for better deals, for us anyway, than previously. And a guy like Rashad Hill actually did get a minorly bigger offer, it was talked about. So it tells you he's want to be here. I mean, Rashad Hill has had his injuries issues. Obviously, we kind of, a couple of years ago, you know, especially with that Bradford season when we went through like seven tackles, you know, he had a rough start to his career, but there was a small stretch of games. I'm not trying to go over the top on him, but there was a few games in a row, I think at the end of a season, where you're like, oh, wait a second, he's actually showing something here. Could he develop? And then he got hurt again, and so it's been a rough one for him. But, you know, like you said, Rashad Hill, tackle, guard Dakota Dozier, who did play for us, Brett Jones, who's kind of been in and out the last couple of years. We made a trade for him 2 years ago, I believe. Amir Abdullah, the fumble issues, maybe, yeah, that lingers, but he can do special teams, and, you know, he's a quality backup. You know, so we did get some of these guys back in the building. That's cool. I don't know much about that DeMarcus Gates, the former XFL player. He's been around here and there on practice squads, on a, I don't know how many 53-man rosters or a traveling roster he's been on or anything like that. To me, that seems like some sort of depth, or even like, you know, who knows, maybe a guy you could develop, but probably more like, you know, a guy that can do special teams or something like that as well. So one of them that stands out that we don't know necessarily a little, but that Anthony Zealot, or what is it? Not Zealot. It's Zettel? Something like that. Yeah, I think it's Zettel. He played for the Lions. I do remember that. He played for the Niners as well. I'm not going to sit there and say, okay, well, this is our starting end, you know what I mean? But he potentially could fall into a reserve role. I mean, he did have his moments as a pro to an extent, you know what I mean? Like, some of these guys, you can't get too overly, you know, like, oh, but dude, he could put it all together type stuff. Like, nah, I'm not saying that about him, but he is a guy that's played plenty of snaps to the point where, like I said, maybe he could get in on a rotation. Maybe he could be part of the rotation if and when, you assume this is NFL, right? People get hurt. So if someone got hurt, maybe he would be a bigger role, you know, in that said rotation. So, you know, in 2017, he did record 6.5 sacks. He started all 16 games for the Lions. So I'd say that one probably stands out the most before we get to Sharp. What do you think about some of those other guys that are just kind of like, hey, man, we've seen them, we know them, they're here, all right, cool.
Yeah, I think you did a pretty good job of kind of wrapping that up. I see it as, you know, getting that bottom layer depth. You know, any one of these guys could come up and jump up and surprise, but it's not very likely for that to happen. I think you're looking at special teams guys, practice squad guys perhaps. Just that kind of bottom layer, third string, you kind of want to say, but, you know, Zeller or whatever his name is, you know, he's got a possibility to come in. When you lose Weatherly, maybe he will be a rotation type guy. But, those corners that we brought in are not the corners. We didn't bring any of those, but,
What happened?
Yeah.
All right. Who?
It seems like the depth, it's this depth. Training camp bodies. I don't want to say that because we're not quite at the time when you start bringing in bodies, but maybe they're looking ahead. I mean, you got to really think they're in a spot here where you don't really know what the draft's going to look like as far as if it's going to take place. It will, but how it's going to take place, how long before, you know, your work actually getting into training camp. OTAs are kind of not going to be there. We're 3 weeks away from the draft. It's kind of a thing where, you know, free agency could last a very long time. Hopefully it doesn't, but, you know, if they don't, I'm not saying they're going to suspend the NFL offseason, but, you know, it could drag on a little bit longer. guys maybe holding out because they get a little extra time to make their deals. So that COVID-19 sort of weird gray area about maybe people aren't so willing to jump into a contract as quickly as they would with the clock running the normal NFL offseason. So I think you're just kind of finding guys, you know, taking opportunities, taking flyers on that linebacker. You know, at the very least, maybe he plays special teams or maybe he doesn't even get out of camp, but you just take a flyer on him and see what you got, you know, and give him a cup of coffee and see what works out. I mean, I think they're really holding out for something big. I mean, you and I definitely hope we'll have something to talk about, but, you know, the Trent Williams thing looks like it's in the air here. So it's kind of that beginning thing might happen. So I'm feeling confident that there might be something happening there, but you never really know. I mean, things can fall apart in an instant. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're pretty much right about it. Just kind of that lower rung depth, you know, guys that are taking chances on a few players, or maybe you scouted them a couple years ago and weren't able to get them, and now you want to, you know, kick the tires on them and see how it goes. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we are right now with free agency. And but, I mean, I think there's things pending. We'll have to see. I mean, we really need to look at those corners because we don't – I mean, what's out there isn't really great anymore. There's a couple options. But everything else, yeah, Denard, okay, we could talk about him a little bit, but, you know, he has some Zimmer background, which is nice. You know, maybe he can get up to speed quicker playing
that.
We'll
get to those corners.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, that's what's really pressing on my mind. So I just keep circling back to it because I want to know what happened and why we have an empty cornerback room. And then secondly, I want to know what we're going to do about it.
Well, like I said, we'll get to him. Let's get this stuff out of the way. But I don't think we're ever going to really know, to answer the first part, what happened in that room. But, yeah, to lose all four, that's still is shocking, no doubt about it. We thought one, especially Alexander. I think that's the one that really stands out for most of us. It's like, all right, dude, we spent some time on this guy. It's not like he wanted to break the bank. Let's bring him back. But – I happen to like some of these guys still out there, but we'll get that there in a second. Sharp. So Sharp is a player, the wide receiver, young guy still. I'm looking at his measurements, pause. 6'2", 201, 25 years old, out of UMass. You know, UMass always had – yeah, they don't. Marcus Camby came from there. That's about it. That's a different sport. Anyway, he was a fifth-round pick, 2016. He did have a good rookie year, 41 catches, 522 in a touchdown or two. Yeah, two touchdowns. Then the next year, and this is usually, you know, your year's over when you have a foot injury for a skilled player, right? And that's what happened. He just didn't play the whole year. Came back and, you know, did some decent stuff. You know what I mean? It's not something that he can play the slot. He can play outside a little bit as well, but, you know, it sounds like he's pretty good in the slot. Last year, for instance, 25 catches, 329, and four touchdowns, which isn't, you know, that's all right. I think the biggest thing that stands out to me out of he was one of the five receivers that did not drop a pass. You know, you had to have, you know, a minimum of, I think, 35 targets or whatever to be under this, but – you know, to me, does that stand out like, oh, dude, this guy's going to be a stud. We're going to develop him and all that. You know, who knows where this guy actually – it's just a one-year deal. It's a really inexpensive deal. But, you know, when you look at the two wide receiver set, you know, last year, the run-first squad, of course, and the two – we used 77 – let's see, two wide receiver or less – 77%, it was two wide receivers or less for us last year. So we got to remember, it sucks that Diggs is gone, but if we are able to add to this offensive line and not, you know, subtract from it any longer, unless it's a trade, and, you know, okay, that's different. But he is going to get the balls. Rudolph is probably going to catch more balls like he did when Thielen was out, right? He had a great year after that when he wasn't just worried about blocking. Johnson, you give him, what, 12, 15 more catches tops. Okay, now you add this guy, he gets you 20, 30, 35 catches. okay, now, you know, I really think it's just going to be, you know, besides the guy that will probably get in the draft, and we may not even, you know, if a guy like we've talked about a couple of these guys, a lot of people like Sims at that area, a lot of people like, well, there's about four wide receivers at that bottom of the first, but it's so deep, and of course, corner, which we're going to get to, is so fucking needed right now, that, you know, even if we did go to the second or even the third, we probably could get a guy that could be productive as a second, third, fourth option. So it's going to be Thielen, Rudolph, Irv Smith, and then like three to four guys, hopefully, that'll at least give us something. So I like this signing. You know, he's a guy that didn't get drafted high or anything like that. Decent, you know, well, you know what? He comes from a running team, so he's not going to freak out about not getting many targets, you know, or as much as some other receivers. So, I mean, not, you don't have to go too detailed about this guy. You know, I understand. It's not like a big signing, but I like it for the money especially.
I like it, too. I think it's a little going to turn out to be a little better of a signing than we're letting on right now. I think he's got talent. I think he's got size. He's good. I don't know what happened for him in Tennessee. I know they drafted Corey Davis after that and kind of, you know, left him a little bit behind the eight ball. But he seems like a good enough guy. And quality receiver, you know, like I said, he doesn't drop the ball, and that's a good thing. Is that all you want there? Probably not. So you probably will look for someone in the draft or maybe something else you can find. Coming up the roster, I mean, Chad Beebe will be back if he can stay healthy, and you got Olabisi Johnson, and you got that other kid we picked up later. I mean, none of them are Stephon Diggs, and Tajay Sharp isn't Stephon Diggs, but I think he's adequate enough player that if he had to start, that wouldn't be the end of all things. Would you like to maybe have something a little more dynamic to start? Yes, you would, and maybe move Tajay to that third type of receiver on three receiver sets, or just to come in to give somebody a break. But, yeah, I mean, it's good enough signing to where if the guy had to start, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I like that. And, by the way, there is a rumor out there that the Vikings have contacted Jarius Wright. But they say there's a low chance of him returning, which is kind of weird. Like, so you know how it went, too? Like, you, not only do you know it got they contacted him, but you know how it went? Like, I don't know. So that's kind of weird. But that is like a perfect guy. Like, hey, third down, where's he at? There you go, Jarius. You know, he got a deal a couple of years ago, which we couldn't give him for what he did to our team. But we always liked him because he was just like, hey, dude, he's not going to give you a bunch of catches per year. But odds are he's either going to make a big play, whether it's, you know, 20, 30-yard pickup or that key third down. So – could Sharp turn into something like that? Could Johnson add on to what he was doing? Yeah, I think it is just going to be kind of a committee thing. And just another thing here, basically after week seven, I think this is week six, this is why when Thielen started getting hurt and all that, the tight ends accounted for six receiving touchdowns. And at the time, you know, beyond that, basically, it was right there with the NFL, you know, the tops of the NFL. And 47 receptions, 440 yards, and that was second in receptions and fifth in as far as tight end group. So clearly under the old man, not the youngster who's the head coach now, but the old man Kubiak, clearly he's going to want to go to the tight end more. And Rudolph's got to be like, all right, finally a guy who likes the tight end. I like this guy, not just blocking. So I think we're going to be okay there. I can't stop, you know, thinking about when we heard about the Diggs trade, Aaron. And, you know, it sucks, but you had to, I feel like you had to do it okay, or we feel like, you know, we had to do it. But, okay, cool. We got some commodity for that. Now, can we make our line better? You know what I mean? We have to make our line better. Therefore, we won't have to have a duo all the time. You know, we talked about how, look at the Niners. Look at some of these teams that beat us throughout the year. We had better talent on the outside than them, but they had a better line than us. So if we could bring Trent Williams in, the guy who's been to like seven Pro Bowls and, you know, all pro a bunch of times from 32 to 35 or something, if we could have those years right there, Well, then you don't miss them as much because, you know, you can run your offense in a different type of way, and we might even be more of a clock-eating offense and not maybe so explosive down the field per se. But we can also get some of these guys. Maybe we do get a guy in the draft that can just jet down. So I like what we're doing here as far as just being productive. But let's
– You raise a really good point because I don't know if you got that, but you're Viking offense. Anything else going on, the offensive line finds itself back at the bottom of the deck again. And it's a huge need. I mean, we've gone over it a few times. We need at least a guard. We need another tackle. And, you know, probably two guards would be really nice to have. But we for sure need at least one. So here we are again with other pressing needs, corner, wideout, safety possibly. And we find ourselves looking at, is the offensive line going to be the third thing that we're going to fix? Are we going to try to address that through the draft only? You have to kind of think that that's what's pointing towards the Trent Williams thing, that you got to shore that up. Now, what you do with the Reef at that point is a whole nother thing. But, you know, I don't like the idea of moving the right tackle over the left tackle. I've soured on that. You know, I can bring up a few names. Mike Remmers is one of them, yet he's still working in the NFL, so that's a thing. And, you know, Elfline's problem is another thing that, you know, is it – maybe he bounces back. He hasn't shown the ability to do that, but, you know, he's had a couple of rough seasons. I think his rookie season when he played center wasn't too bad, but the two after that were notably bad. And so what do you plan to do there? So, yeah, again, like, you raise a really good point. If they want to run the ball, then you're going to have to strengthen that up. The defensive lines in the NFC North are tough lines to face, and I'm speaking specifically about the Packers and the Bears. So,
and we got to go to Seattle again, of course.
We got to go to Seattle again.
Are they
again,
just in our division? Did they get in our division? We just don't know it. Or are they partially in our division? We just go on the road to them.
Right. I was going to say, if they're in our division, at least we get a home game against them at some point. But, you know,
that's funny.
But that's a tough, you know, it's a tough road to hoe if you can't, like you said, if you can't protect or run the football. And they did a better job of running the football last year, but pass protection was again a problem, specifically against like bigger, stronger, taller lines. And you know, Kirk isn't going to be moving too much and you want to protect him. So again, you know, we find ourselves in that position where the offensive line, people are screaming at the wall saying, we need offensive line, we need offensive line. I think in this draft, you should just really stack up so that next season, maybe you can put that aside and say, okay, we've got that dealt with.
Right.
Let's work on the other things.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's where we're at right now. But behind the scenes, if they're going to either get Smith from the Cowboys or, like you said, Trent Williams, well, all right, then we'll shut up. Then we'll get off you a little bit. You know, that's fine. Okay. Now we can see what, you know, what you're thinking, your thought process is there. But we would need to, because right now it's worse. One thing we know for a fact, it's worse because we lost Klein. That's just the bottom line. So now we hope that one of these youngsters, you know, step up in one of the guard positions. But we still have that, you know, we needed to go after the left guard and fix that up, you know, or obviously the tackle. And I'm assuming he's going to be gone. And maybe that's part of the trade, too, because part of this stuff, as we make our way, since we've been on offensive line for a little bit, might as well just finish it off. You know, the Anthony Harris thing, I did like numerous times how, you know, we were able to do it. Kirk tweaked his deal so we could do it. And then now it's a commodity. So you either have it and you sign it long term and we're happy. It is a passing league. So why not have two stud, you know, safeties? And so that's cool. Or, you know, maybe it would, you know, first they were talking about maybe that's in the Trent Williams. I've also heard just a third round pick for him this year instead of getting it next year or whatever. So it's kind of a combination of, it doesn't seem like he's going to be part of that. But, you know, we could be wrong. Cleveland's been heavy on him, too. And that really makes no – you know, that's no surprise there, obviously, with the head coach there. He knows how that good – you know, like good that guy is. But as far as Chris Thomason, local guy here, he says, you know, they've been actively discussing possibly long-term extensions. One source believes now that it's increased, that, yeah, that they're really trying to do that. And they have till June, to I think it's June 15th or June 10th to negotiate a long-term deal. Otherwise it will be just a straight up franchise tag on them. But I do like how we're holding it because, hey, we can at least get a trade now or we can sign to a long-term. So is that part of the deal? I really don't know. But like I mentioned, as far as offensive line wise, the Cowboys right now are shopping, offensive tackle, Tyron Smith, and he has a $13.8 million cap hit, and that's good for that position. That's right in the realm of, you know, Reef, what he's making. So, and actually, I mentioned that Niner, he literally just got cut. Where did it go? Mike, Person, I think that's how you'd say that. I doubt they'd say person. Hey, who's that person? Oh, person? What person? No, the person. No, it's person, I'm assuming. But last two years, well, the reason why I'm bringing him up, he played for the Niners, and we saw what that offensive line, the road grading offensive line, they had to pay someone huge this year. They're actually doing the same thing we're doing with Harris, is they franchise him and they're trying to work a long-term deal. So I figured they were going to lose. But this dude lose somebody, just to finish that thought. But he's been with the Niners the last 2 years, and he started – well, he's in 30 games. He started them all. He started 14 and went all the way to the Super Bowl with them too. So he just literally got cut today. So, you know, when you start to go, well, shit, dude, maybe we can somehow get him and play him at guard. You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden I'm pretty happy about that. There still is Jason Peters out there, for left tackle, but man, that's a 1 year fix it thing. That's a super short term thing right there. You know what I mean? That is not going to be something that you want to give 3-4 years to because he's old. He's very, very old. It's a lot different than 31, 32, 38, especially being that big. There is DeMar Dotson, another guy who's out there. But once again, he's an older vet. There's another guy, Cordy Glenn, who's played 5 seasons so far. Pretty good, you know, really good run blocker, it sounds like. I guess he's had some injuries of late, so that, you know, that's the NFL, man. Once you hit your 30s, you have a little track record of freaking injury. You just never know. So whether it's trade, whether it's draft, whatever, I think we're going to be okay. But, yeah, I really think that, you know, just to reiterate, we really need that Trent Williams or that Smith from the Cowboys and have someone here for a couple of years, dude, because I just don't see how we're going to improve the line, like really upgrade it considering we lost Diggs, if not, you know. We can get to the corners anytime here. Oh, but you know what? Since we're on the offensive line, should we go through that scenario, that four-trade scenario? You want to break it down a little bit?
Sure, but I was just going to interject quickly that if there's positions where we need to have a starter, you know, because we can talk about draft, we can talk about free agency and building depth and replacing this and replacing that, but positions where you've got to that starter for this season and ready to play, ready to go is a guard and a tackle, I think. And then obviously the corners, which we're going to get to. But I mean, these are things that if you're going to make a trade and spend, you know, a starter on or a first rounder on or a second rounder on, I'd like that to be on the offensive line simply because it's if what your offense wants to do is run the football, right? You want to run the football, eat the clock, play good defense. That's going to be, you know, being able to run the ball and being able to stop the run. I mean, that's fundamental football. So I want to see if their assets are going to go somewhere, the expensive ones, I guess, for lack of a better word. I want to see a good chunk of that go to offensive line help. I just want to get that dealt with. You have a number of picks this year. You have some options here in free agency. If you kick the can down the road on the offensive line again, it's going to be very hard to sell this offense. Right. Yeah. If you want to sell a run-first offense, you better prepare for it, I guess is my point. You better get that offensive line dealt with so that you can have a successful season running the football.
Yeah, because we have a youngster who we think is going to do something, but we have two young players. One just had a rookie year. The right guard, you know, or right tackle, he actually didn't really play all that well except the last couple of games his rookie year, and he looked like a stud this year. So we have improvement, much like we talked about how we improved the inside last year, and you could see it did pay dividends in the running game, in the rush attempt game. Because remember, we went from like second to like 27th or 8th after that year. So it was like, shit. Of course, we were pass happy 2 years ago. But still, that's a big drop. And attempts tells you you're, especially with the play action team, you need those attempts so they're actually biting on the run. But you're right, man. I mean, if you're going to give, you got to give to, you know, give to get. That's cool. We're willing to give, but damn it, we got to get. Because, yeah, otherwise it's a rebuild. Why don't you, this is from the VikingAge.com. It's a four-trade scenario. You want to break this down for us, and then we'll kind of discuss and debate which options are probably the best. Maybe we can narrow it down to two or something. But, yeah, you want to go over the trade scenarios there, sir?
Sure, yeah. So you sent me this article about an hour ago, and it's by Dean Jones, a little piece he had about four trade scenarios for the Vikings to land Trent Williams. And so I looked at them all. I kind of thought to myself I would probably do any of them, but we're going to maybe want a pick or two that we like the best. So the trade number one scenario would be trading first-round pick number 22 and then the fifth-round pick number 168. Now, quickly, if you could pull that off, you do that 100 times out of 100. The second one here, let me get to it.
Yeah, it's got this little tweak where you got to hit it, and this is just an ingenious way to get more hits on your website.
Right, right. It's like clickbait. Ahead. All right, so then the trade number two would just be Anthony Harris straight across. And, yeah, I would do that, but it doesn't seem very likely. Like, that's how it would go down. But, I mean, we'll talk a little bit about that. And then trade number three scenario, which I like a lot, too. But, again, I think it's a little bit of pie in the sky. Riley Reiff straight across with a second-round pick, number 58. Now, I guess this one, we'll talk about that one a little bit later. I'll just go through the fourth one, and then we'll maybe come back to that one right away. And then the trade number four would be the second-round pick, number 58, fourth-round pick, number 132, and a 2021 fourth-round pick, which is a pretty doable thing. I hate to give up the second rounder, but, I mean, it is Trent Williams in basically the tail end of his prime. So I think that's worth it. Now let's jump back quickly. I'll start off
if
with
it allows
three.
Me to, I'll do that. Okay.
Right, right. So three here is the sticker one because, yeah, I don't have any problem moving Reiff for Williams. But to throw that second-round pick in there, you know, I think you could get away with a fourth, a third, maybe a fifth. The second round's a little steep because in this year's draft, I mean, with what you need at cornerback and the run that's going to happen inevitably on a couple positions that three positions I can think of that you're going to be after right. Pretty hard, tackle, wide receiver, and corner. There are going to be significant runs on all three of those positions. And I think they're going to come probably before a second round pick number 58. Which makes second-round pick number 58 very, very valuable in this draft particularly, and is if not to take that pick or to move up and maybe get involved in some of those runs, otherwise you're going to find yourself with two picks prior to that and three really big needs. So you're going to need to do something there. So I guess overall, in a normal draft, sure, do it. But in this one, I'm a little bit dubious about it just because of where that pick stands and you know, Reiff is a comer. Reiff's fine. You want to take him and go, that's fine. But maybe try to get a third-round pick. And then why don't you give your thoughts on maybe starting at the first trade scenario. And then we can stop on this third one. But that's the one that sticks the most out in my head is giving me pause.
Right. Yeah, number two I think we should throw out because I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, I mean, I guess we can't throw out anything right now, right? Okay, and it's actually, it's messing with me. Okay, there we go. you know, I mean, I definitely do the trade one, you know, definitely. I mean, that'd work, because then you're like, okay, well, our first round pick. Okay, well, we already know this dude's a stud for a couple more years. So you got him, you know. I'd like to keep Harris. So I think you're right when your first instinct was like, I don't really see that happening. When I look at this, the thing about the third that I like is, and I hear what you're saying about that second round, but still, then you're taking, you know, we talked about this too. And by the way, we are going to do, more draft shows than we did last year. We're going to do multiple draft shows, and the last one we're going to do is a mock draft. So keep an eye out for that, people out there. But if we do this trade, Riley Reiss out the door anyway. He's out the door. And when you cut a guy, there's dead cap. So if his, I think his salary is like 12 or 13 or whatever, I think it's 13, the dead cap, really you're only saving 8.5 at that point. So you're actually leaving money on your cap, you know, and I'd rather, and if you just trade him straight up, they're making similar money. We'd probably extend the stud and give him more money, which in the coming years, especially with that Diggs trade, we now have more money in the future too, not just this year, which we got. Everybody has to keep in mind, by the way. Go to the cap website, over the cap or whatever it's called, and look at not just next year. Yeah, it's nice. It probably won't be after all this stuff though, right? It'll probably be tight like a lot of people. But then you look at the next year after that and the year after, and you're like, wow, dude, yeah, we're gonna be able to extend the guys we want to keep. You know what I mean? It really loosens up at that point. And as long as the football season starts in September, and I bring that up because of the cap, you know, the cap's going to go up in 2 years too, like sizably. But if they stop the season, some of the revenue, seeing that with the NBA season anymore, and the MLB. So the cap's going to get affected in those leagues, but if they don't, if they can somehow get there in September, even if it's no, you know, no fans for a month or something, then we're going to be okay cap-wise. So I like three a lot, because I get you on the second round pick, but once again, you don't need him as a tackle. I don't want to move him in as a guard and keep that, unless he takes a huge pay cut. Second round pick, you're right. I like what you said about that. That is a good point, but I think it's worth it because once again, that pick, we don't know what we get with him. Whereas one and they throw out, I like three. God, man, shit. I like three because of the Riley Reiss situation. Otherwise, we cut Reiss straight up. There's about $3.5 million in there that we just leave in dead cap, and then go second, fourth, and fourth. So right now, three and four are the best scenarios. I'd probably just say three is the best scenario, in my opinion, just because we're going to have to move Riley regardless. Well, I guess not under the – oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to – because we bring it in Trent anyway. So I'd say three probably works best for our cap overall, and then maybe we could put some money – for a Denard or some of these other guys, Fitzgerald, that we're going to talk about in the cornerback room.
You sold me on three a little bit too, just because you're about Reiss. And I kind of meant that's what I said when I didn't really matter if he comes and he goes, because he's kind of on his way out the door, whether it's this year or next year anyway. And then you're basically down to a second round pick. You can use your two firsts on like a corners and maybe a receiver or something like that. So it does look a little bit better. You kind of did change my mind a little bit on it. Four, I don't like. I don't like the future picks thing because you just don't know what boat you're going to be in next year. And I started taking a look pretty hard at the first option, the first round pick number 22 and the fifth round pick 168. Essentially, that would be trading Diggs for Trent Williams in a roundabout way, because that's the pick we got from Diggs, and we got a couple extra on top of that. And I think that's a pretty good deal. I mean, you get a starting tackle in a good spot at a decent age. I think you'd still rather have Diggs. But if you got to losing him for Trent Williams, particularly on this team and for what this team needs, that's a pretty good deal. So I like 3-2 now as well. Let me rephrase that because it seems like six numbers, but I like 3 as well. And then I like one as well too because you know your first round pick's probably gonna go. You're probably gonna want to trade up to get one of those top tackles. And if you don't have to do that, and you can just alleviate that by going, okay, we'll give you a first round pick. We take Trent Williams. We've got a top grade tackle. And we don't have to worry about getting in that tackle run. Now we just got to worry about, you know, watching the cornerback run, watching the wide receiver run, which I think, you know, there's always those ones that go at the top and they're out of the run. And then you got, you know, that second tier where the run starts to get made on those positions. So, you know, my biggest concern is you're going to have the ammunition to get up and get involved in maybe two out of those three runs, but not all three of them. And so if you can settle down one of those positions of need, before you go into that draft, that's the perfect opportunity to do so. And getting Trent Williams for a first round pick is, especially that one that's kind of a gravy pick anyway, kind of is the one I go. So I go one with a little bit to three. You're going three with a little bit to four.
Well, I just think, yeah, I like three just because, you know, you don't leave debt. We need that $4.5 million this year. To go to what we're going to talk about next. And that's cornerback. I like that though. Like you said, when you first texted me though, you know, you look at all the scenarios, you're like, I mean, I wouldn't be sitting there kicking rocks at any of them really. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'd be happy just for the upgrade. But yeah, it's an interesting discussion, no doubt about it. Now, do you want to give your thoughts on that cornerback room or do you want to maybe start talking? Well, you could do that if you want.
I would love to give my thoughts on it, but I don't really have anything but thoughts on it. I mean, nobody knows. I mean, you and I text back and forth and thought of maybe reasons of why there's a max exit out of the defensive backfield. And it's like, well, you know, even Sendejo got out of here. And we tried to get rid of him. We did get rid of him. He came back and then he took off. So I don't really know. And Jayron Kearse is another one. Why wouldn't you stay and possibly take that starting job that you could possibly have this season? You've worked hard for it. Why leave now? It doesn't add up. I know he got a little trouble, but more though.
Just because, yeah, you know, they got two stud safeties potentially still. You know, you don't know. You lose out on an offer if you wait around for if we're going to trade him or not, and then you hear they are talking contract extensions, maybe that'll work, maybe it won't. You can still extend him and trade him, of course, too. But, yeah, the one that stands out is Alexander.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
$4 million. 4.1 or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And he just got into position. He just got comfortable. He just got adequate. He just got – I mean, it was his spot for the next 5 years if he wanted it to be. And he got out of here. He's always wanted to play outside. Maybe that's the reason. Like outside corner, but
that's true.
He's 5'9". You know, it's just not the way the league's going as far as outside corners right now. So he's going to probably end up at nickel somewhere else. I think he's in Cincinnati with Trey Waynes, who you thought that would be the guy we thought would be sticking around. Rhodes had to go. His play had fell off, but then we find out they tendered him a new offer and he turned that down. So, you know, I think I'd have been a little upset if Rhodes would have took that offer and would have been back. I think we all would have been like, what the fuck? You know, like, we finally got rid of him, and now he's back. And those were the shocking ones to me, man, was first Alexander and then Waynes. Waynes I can get because all the drama with Griff last season. And
Waynes, you can't give Waynes that kind of money. He's the third highest paid corner in the league now.
That's true.
It's going to be that way for a while. I can't do that one.
Right. So say that, but then Alexander's an odd one too. So I don't know what, you know, maybe it's just, you know, the way you know, it all fell that they all were out at the same time, the way their contracts were and all that. But I just can't help but think there's probably more to that story. What it is, until they come out and tell us, we won't know. So it's not even worth speculating. But yeah, it's shocking. And now it puts us in a position where, you know, we're going to need to fill four spots in that corner room, probably all the way down the depth chart. And, you know, that's going to be interesting if you can't get anything in free agency, which we haven't really. There's options out there. Denard's not a terrible option. But, like, you've been really adamant about wanting to bring in a veteran. I'm not so adamant about it, but I can see where you're at with that.
I don't know why. What would be the argument not to bring in one vet?
Well, it is not an argument not to bring in. I don't really have one not to. I just don't think it's as important maybe as you do. I just feel like if you can get a quality rookie that can play day one, which is, you know, that's asking a lot.
That's a capital I and an F.
Right. That's asking a lot. But if you can manage to do that or just force one out there who can pick things up quickly, you're not in such a terrible spot.
But you could get one of those and a corner, a vet corner.
Yeah. I mean, either way is fine with me. I'm not going to argue for or against it. I'm just saying, then you get into another, I thought about this while I was doing a bunch of stupid mock drafts was, okay, so let's say you get three corners and let's say they all work out. How the hell are you going to pay them in one season when their contracts come up? I mean, you kind of got to stagger them coming in, don't you? So that you can pay them if you want to keep them or sending them gone. I mean, let's say you get three corners, they all work out, they're all starters for you.
And then 3 years, 4 years down the line, you're like, oh, shit, they're all, you know. Yeah, that's a good point.
Then you got to pay them all at the same time. So
that
you
just
know,
helped my argument. Thank you. I appreciate that.
It does help your argument. But
I just think we're going to be able to, actually, let me list a couple of guys that, a couple of these guys are probably too expensive, but maybe if it is Reef Riley gone, then we'd have that little extra cap room, potentially this year anyway. Logan Ryan is a guy that I think will be too expensive, but a lot of people are still kind of measuring in on him. Prince Amukamara, he's a guy that's played a lot of years, or not a lot, but you know, I mean, he's pretty solid. There's another guy here. We talked about Denard already. We talked about, there's a Brandon Carr who's 34, something like that. 1 year, 2 year, maybe we could develop that second corner in that time. I think Tre'Mon Williams is a one and done, but falls under that. I think the Jonathan Joseph I've mentioned numerous times just because he's already played in the system. I think, you know, he knows Zim and whatnot. And there was a couple, there's a couple more beyond that. Dre Kirkpatrick just got cut. And he was a first-round pick, solid player, and you know who was there when they had him as a first-round pick. Our guy Zim, another veteran, Tre'Mon Brock. I'm not saying these guys are all system fits. Talib, you know, these guys have been around for a while, and there is going to be a wave, like you mentioned, Aaron, where in a couple of weeks, if things aren't done, then those vets are going to be like, you know what, let me see what they draft. Let me see what they do, and then maybe they'll need me more than they need me now. So I do think that that's a natural thing, but you're right as far as not having not getting a look at the rookies you get, too. That very next week could screw stuff up like that, too, and maybe they are doing exactly what you said. That was a good call as far as it may linger longer for some of these vets that know their worth and they know they can start, but – I don't know. That's kind of interesting. But that Fitzpatrick stands out. You know, 2012, 2013, he's part of the team the defense coordinator who drafted him, probably, you know, kicked the knee under the freaking table like, hey, fucking draft this guy. You know what I mean? So I do think there's plenty of just solid guys we know we can plug and play. They're not going to destroy you on the frickin' cap, but yet we can still fill up, you know, on corners. We talked about this the other night. So we look at it. Four guys are gone, right, as we know. We got three guys that played last year, right? One of them, Boyd, who played what was it, 99 snaps or something like that, didn't play much. He could be the best out of them. We don't really know. We got one dude who – you know, it's going to help that they don't test for marijuana anymore because that rookie year he did play pretty well. When he got a guy, you know, that we don't know about because he got injured as a rook and he played he didn't play that well last year. He got targeted 17 times. You know, everybody knows these three corners that I'm speaking of. Maybe I should have said Boyd and, you know, the names, but like we all know because there's not many left on our roster that have played. So I figure out of the, and really three starters, I figure you put a vet in, you go get a stud corner in the draft, and then one of those three can get that third position. And then another guy you draft. Maybe another guy you bring on that who is 36 and can only give you a Terrence Newman year, or maybe 75% of a Terrence Newman year. And he fills in at the fourth spot. And then one of the other guys that we have on there fills in. So I just think I would, well, for sure one, but I wouldn't even be, you know, mad at two, because it's so hard for rookies to play, especially like you've mentioned many a times with Zimmer too. That first year, it's tough. So I just think when you have four spots to plug, why we're going to plug one of them, hopefully, with maybe two of them, but for sure one of them we feel like out of the three we have. And then plug with the rookie. You know, that's just the way I'm looking at it, basically. I think that we can still accomplish this. It just seems, well, the cupboard's more than bare.
I agree with you. I think you sold me on that. You know, because I think you're going to want to get a high-end rookie. You know, use one of your top picks, grab a corner, whichever guy you like that's there. There's a couple guys, but we'll talk about that in the draft show. And then you're probably going to want to find a guy that can play the nickel and you know, the nickel type body, 5'9", 5'10", got all the things he needs. There's a couple guys that are going to be there lower in the draft and a couple guys that'll be there in the upper part of the draft. So I think, you know, you're probably thinking the right way there. You'll grab a guy that can play for a year or two. You know, pick one of the guys out, maybe two of them that you like in a rotation to start on the outside, and then really focus on the kid you want to play nickel. And that's the thing. That's, to me, that's what's holding up at all. It's like, who's going to play the nickel now? We know that the nickel's a tough spot, and not everybody can play it. You've seen Mike Hughes try to play it somewhat unsuccessfully. You've seen Munnerlyn come in his first year, was touch and go. Second year, kind of got it, and then out the door. Didn't want to do it. And then you see McKenzie, who, you know, he kept trying to play it, and it took him 3 years to really get it down. As soon as he gets it down, he's out the door. So I think that's a really probably the most stressful spot in that defense, and finding the guy with the temperament to play it and the ability to play it seems to be hard to keep. So, I mean, there's a guy in the draft I think could do it, but he's not going to come cheap. You're going to have to use one of your top picks on him, and then you got to get him ready to go. So it's a tough spot. Do you want to move Hughes down there when he, you know, he might have a good idea mentally of what to do, but physically he didn't seem like he was great at playing it? You know, it's a tough spot, man. I like what you're saying about the vet. Maybe you bring a vet in, a nickel, who can maybe adjust a little bit quicker. I just don't know. It seems like it's going to be a rough secondary next year. And there's not a lot we can do about it except for maybe be patient with them and let them do their thing. There's just, I guess, I won't say that. I'll just say there doesn't seem to be a quick fix unless you can, you know, change my mind. You've done it twice today, but change my mind on it.
I agree with you there. I'm right there with you. There is no quick fix. That's well put. At the end of this, that's a great period on that.
So then you got to add to that, you know, your offense is your defense, basically. It's run the ball, eat the clock, play defense. A little bit of play action. Now you don't have a secondary. Something's not right there. You know, it's just, how's that? If it's not a rebuild, then what are we going to see in 2020? If we see anything at all, thank you, COVID-19.
Yeah, right. Who's the freaking tackle we let go to the Browns last year? What the hell am I missing? I wanted to keep him. Why can't I think of it? There's so many names in my head right now. Defensive tackle.
Sheldon.
Sheldon, thank you. Now, I got it. Like, if we don't bring in these vets and we don't, you know, we're going to, like you said, those one of the first two in that first round, if we have them, well, actually, even if we don't have them, if we just have one instead of the second to a pair of them, I agree. It probably is just going to be a corner, especially if it is just one. Well, probably just, yeah, it's going to be a corner. Now, you can't go in there thinking like that for sure, but I'm pretty positive it's going to be. But, you know, when we talk about the second, secondary, the defensive line, if you got a stud defensive line and a stud middle linebacker and some stud guys on the back end, which we do with the safeties, I probably would have liked Wuss's toes and the guy we just got next to each other in the middle, and Barr go someplace else and let, because we spent a lot of money on him. And the only reason why I'd be happy with it at this point, like overly happy, I should say, is if we bring that mother effer off the edge way more. And it's so ironic. I remember mentioning this to you, that the one of the first parts of the game, I think it was the first third down of the year. I swear to God, maybe it wasn't, but it was early. What did you, Barr got off the, got a sack like right away. Like, yup, that's why we signed him, dude. And then it just went someplace. So, and I'm assuming they are, but my whole point is just saying that when you got your D taken care of up front, you got the back end who guys are very talented, they can close, and you got a stud in the middle who can sure tackle and cover. I just didn't know if we needed, you know, what's more important, Barr or a guy on the line that is a space eater. Then you got two space eaters, except that you can get, you know, to the Sheldon can get to the quarterback more. Then, of course, Pierce, who's more of a, you know, traditional run stopper. So if we are stopping the run with those two, then it's 3rd and 9, Aaron. It's 3rd and 12. It's 3rd and 13. Well, cornerbacks are going to like that situation a lot better. So that might take, you know, that might burn us. But it also might be great if we send Barr off the edge, you know?
I always like Barr, man. He gets a lot of grief, but he's the quarterback of the defense. He's, you know, he's the guy with Zimmer in his headset. I mean, that's not an easy job to have. And he's the ability to the player, and in a 3-4, yeah, I could see him doing that. And I'd like to see him do it more. And like you said, like, I think it was the first third down, and we were like, oh, yeah, they're going to unleash Barr this year.
Here we go.
You know, so how much is it Barr not being unleashed, or how much is it, you know, is it scheme, or is it Barr? I really think it's scheme.
Well, I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming him. Definitely not.
Yeah, and I just think he's asked to do a lot of things, and rushing the passer is rarely part of it, unfortunately. I think it's just part of the scheme. But, I mean, we've got Capers in here to drop some new things. I think Zimmer thought his blitzes were getting stale. At the very least, that's why he brought in Capers. A total defensive overhaul is another reason why he might have brought up Capers, but I'm going to probably side with the first thing there. And, you know, you can get creative. When you got Kendricks, it can hold down and cover that middle, and then Barr can be free to do some things. If you get the right nickel, who you and I know we have in mind there, who can also come down and kind of act like a linebacker, you can do a lot more things with Barr as long as you've got, you know, that nose tackle, which we just picked up, Pierce, which I get happier about that every day. Every time I look into it, I just think, okay, that's almost perfect what they did there. And then you got Daniil on the other side. So, I mean, you get that done and get a three technique if you're going to stay in a 4-3, then it maybe frees Barr up to do a few more things. But again, like I said earlier, you got to get the right nickel and to be able to do that. And at that point, I really think you got to hang on to Harris because he can do a lot of that stuff too.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I want to hang on to Harris, especially in this cornerback situation that we're in. At least for the time being, I do believe if there's a guy that can scout a vet who they've already put all this shit on tape on the pro level, not on the college level, but pro level, I'm very confident that we can bring in a starting cornerback at a right price. Is he going to be a stud? Is he going to be here for the next 6 years? Nope. That's hopefully who we bring in, you know,
on the draft. Want it to be, no. I'm going to gauge it on last year. Can he be a step better than Xavier Rhodes was last year? If he can, that's suitable.
Yeah. Right.
You know, but then again, the flip side of that.
And confident, too, because – at times, Xavier was right there, but couldn't get his fucking arm up.
Yep, and the flip side of that is he going to be a step worse than Xavier Rhodes was last year? And then you got a targeting problem, and then you got everything going that way, and then there's not a lot you can do about it. You know, it's got to be a guy that can play adequately. I mean, I don't care, really, if it's 2 years, 3 years, 1 year.
Right.
Because you're going to basically need a training year for whatever corners that you bring in, at least 1 year, to like a redshirt year for them. So you got to have that covered. So you get a guy for 2 years, you know, see how it pans out. Hopefully you draft well and the guy's not a bust and or gets hurt, knock on wood.
No.
And then you can kind of go, okay, well, we're going to, you know, fumble our way, no pun intended, through 2020 to see what happens in 2021.
You got any last words before we shut down this year podcast, sir?
No, I do not. Let's go and shut her down.
Let's shut her down. And by the way, I said it just a little bit ago, we are going to cover the draft more than we did last year. Not just some sort of halfway preview and then, you know, the recap of what we got. You know, that's more, that was the more detail that we did last year. We did that good detail, you know, of the draft. Because we didn't have a bunch of free agency stuff. One, basketball was still going, and the Gophers were making a run. Two, we had just done Josh Klein, and that was it, basically. But I mean, we brought Barr back, of course, too. But it, for a while there, it was like, what's going on? Like, there's not much more to talk about beyond the Barr thing. That was like our one debate we could have, you know. Should it have been a Sheldon or should it have been Barr? And then that we couldn't do much. So we are going to break down a preview stuff. And like I said, the week of the draft, probably Monday or something, maybe Sunday, who knows. But 5 days before the draft, a couple days before the draft, we are going to do a mock draft so we can really – we kind of want to wait to see all this stuff and see what we really need going to the draft rather than doing a mock draft that's just – worthless because, hey, we got Trent Williams. Oh, I wouldn't have picked them. I wouldn't have done that, you know, that type of thing. So stay tuned to that. We appreciate it. Stay as safe as possible. Stay inside. Let's just get through this together. We'll be back next week. Or if there is a Trent Williams or that Smith, you know, some kind of huge trade for a tackle, we're going to do like a 15-20 minute show. But other than that, we'll see you next week. Peace.